You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And it is now midweek day of transgender visibility, formerly known as Hump Day. Hello and welcome to the show. I was just kind of hanging here in the studio, been in here for about 5 hours. Not uncommon for me with regard to this radio program, the amount of effort I put into it. I know I make it look effortless. So we got Johnny's our friend here, and he's doing some work on our house. And one of the things he's doing is he's putting a couple of new doors inside the house that are a little more soundproof. All right, so because you know I do a radio show and I make a lot of noise, and sometimes my son's here working or my wife's here working, and so you know we're putting these thick solid wood doors on several of the doors, and including the master bedroom. Don't ask why, but anyway, so these doors, and I noticed this morning as I was going in with my brand new door in my office that the lock was on the outside, and I was like, huh, why would my wife want a lock be in my office? I said to John, I'm like, John, can you reverse this door handle here and put the lock on the inside? He goes, oh, well, I'll have to tell your wife then. He was joking about it. I don't think it was intentional, but well, you never know. And many of you are saying, well, I can't blame her. I know what you're thinking. Anyway, I was doing a lot of thinking the last 24 hours, and I was thinking about the incredible journey that we've been on the last 8 years, particularly as conservatives, if you're a conservative, how difficult it's been when every single day the candidate you voted for 8 years ago, every day is harangued by the media, impeached twice, home raided, something had never been done before. Four political indictments, constant haranguing, January the 6th, no police officers were killed, two civilians were killed, by the way, one of them shot, the cop was able to get off scot-free, and every day it's you're a Nazi, every day it's you're a white supremacist, every day you're a MAGA fascist enemy of democracy, every single day, and for the last 30 years of my career, conservative apartheid at every single angle in my life. Years ago, on 2010, I had a producer for Mark Burnett, he said, my God in heaven, Rob Carson, where have you been? I've been waiting you my entire life. I was going to get possibly a show on Oprah's own network, a talk show. And then all of a sudden, no calls back. Turns out, well, I guess they heard I wrote for Rush Limbaugh. And then I watched Rush Limbaugh go through this conservative apartheid. He wasn't able to buy an NFL franchise. They pitched a fit, said he's some sort of a racist. It's ridiculous. And I will also say that there are a lot of people in this country who have suffered under Democrat rule over the decades, particularly the black community. And I mean, untold suffering. And every single year, every single election year, it's the same thing. We're going to promise you this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And where are we now? I've never seen anything like the inner city black community where it is right now. Kids graduating not knowing how to read or do math. Kids graduating with no future. An abortion rate of 60%. Fatherless home rate of 85%. Schools are terrible. And every year, Democrats keep getting elected. And every year, you know, and I was kind of weighing all this 8 years versus, you know, what we've been through and, you know, what I've been through personally. I grew up poor and then I returned to poverty not that long ago. I didn't expect that. I was a successful broadcaster and all of a sudden nobody wanted to hire me and lost my house and had to use SNAP benefits for a while. That was part of a culture shock, you know. Holy crap, I can't afford groceries. And, you know, calling the wife and saying, can I fill the car with gas or do you just want me to put $20 in it, right? So it went through hell and back, right? And I was thinking about all of this and all this suffering and all these abuses and usurpations and all these tribulations we've been through. And I was thinking, man, I thank God for it. I thank God for it because it's brought us here and it's awakened us to what we've, who've been working against us and who've been hating us and who's been holding us back. It opened it all up. We can all see it now. And I thank God for it. But at the same time, I couldn't go through it again. I don't think I'd survive the next time. I don't think I would. I really think I got put through my paces, man. I really got put through my paces. And I know many of you are going through that right now. You're going through your paces and you're wondering if things are going to be better. But here's the thing. We're learning how abusive and awful this government is. We're learning. We had no idea the censorship industrial complex. We had no idea how much money was being spent, taken from us and distributed to Big Pharma and Big Defense and all that. We just really didn't have an idea. Not at all. We didn't realize how badly this government hates us until East Palestine. You know, and until inflation hit, and now they're trying to tell us in the midst of our suffering that, you know, you're just imagining it. You know, I know you can't afford buying a house now, but you're just imagining that. 4.5 years ago, my wife and I cobbled together enough money to buy a house. I had to sell cars for 3 years. I had to prove to her that I was worthy of her because I went from losing a house, being out of work for a year and a half, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. If I was going to be homeless, she was going to leave me. And I said, okay. And I said inside, I said, I will win her back. I will save my family. And I worked at a car dealership. And the first month that I worked there, I sold more cars than anybody in the dealership. They never seen anything like it. 6 months later, she says, I'm going to stay, but I'm not giving you a third chance. You got a second chance. You're not getting a third chance. And we bought a house. And guess what? If I was making that salary today, we'd still be in a crappy rental. We couldn't afford a house because the house we live in is now twice as much to try to buy today. So I know what it's like to go through tribulations, but you know what I've said is after tribulation, there is great enlightenment. And that's why I'm optimistic about the future. So no matter where you are, if you're in the midst of your tribulations and you're at the beginning of it or you're at the end of it, we're going to get through this because we're waking up. We're waking up and it's really good. It's really good. And this isn't necessarily religious. Although I do believe in a higher power, certainly, and I do believe that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, and for every negative there is an equal and opposite positive, and we've been going through the negative. And now comes the positive. Yesterday, here's what Donald Trump said yesterday. He was speaking in Wisconsin about people of all colors coming together.
They're not going to be unions very long. They're not going to be able to sustain it. But I think the worst hurt will be the African Americans. Then you're going to have the Hispanic Americans. They're going to be hurt tremendously by this invasion. It is indeed an invasion. And it's not, maybe in some cases, but I'll tell you, they're coming from places that you don't want them to come from. Yeah. In my first term, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We had record tax cuts and regulation cuts and rising wages.
Oh, yeah.
For cities, that's right, totally rising within all our cities, but for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. And all of this without any inflation. Now the inflation's a record number. It could be 75%.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they like to say it's 58% and 54, probably 75%. And anything you made is more than wiped out. Look at your grocery bill. When you go for groceries now, you're paying three times what you paid 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was about 5 years ago. I used to go to Sam's Club twice a month. Cost $250 for a family of four, twice a month. And I'd maybe go to Safeway or maybe go to another store and get a few little other things. But about $500, $600 a month was what I needed. Now, family of four, $400 every 2 weeks. It's bad. But I saw this video yesterday, and it really meant a lot to me. This is a man, I saw this on the Lexit Movement on Instagram. And this was a man of color from Baltimore. And I want you to listen to this, because this is what I'm talking about when I hear enlightenment. And this is what buoys me. This is what makes me know that we've got it within us to get back to pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The only thing holding us back are the jackweeds in Washington, D.C.
Pay me to vote for a Democrat, local, state, federal elections. I don't care what it is. You couldn't pay me to vote for one. You know why? Because they know that we, and I mean people whose skin color look like mine, they know that we vote party over interest.
Mm.
So after we vote, what do? They don't need us for anything.
No.
That's what they do.
Who's been saying this? Who's been saying that the Democrat Party always makes us promises and everything until Election Day, and then the next day, the Democrat Party gets up, gets out of bed, leaves you, and leaves money on the dresser. That's the way they are.
Year after year after year. I'm from Baltimore, and I go home at least twice a year to see family.
Yes.
Same abandoned homes.
Yes.
Same crime rate.
Oh, yes.
We haven't had a Republican mayor since the 60s.
Have you been to East St. Louis lately? Yeah, I know.
And look at our environment. The same can be said for Memphis. The same can be said for St. Louis. The same can be said for Detroit. The same can be said for a lot of these cities all over this country that have been led down the toilet by Democrats for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Stop voting party over interest and vote interest over party.
Boom. 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 But here's another video I found. And this is kind of interesting because, you know, the Democrat Party is all about abortion. They want to make this election about abortion. It's a woman's reproductive health rights. I think there's some other stuff involved with reproductive health other than just killing the baby inside you. I could be wrong. I don't have a uterus. I could claim to have one. Oh, I'm a woman. No, I'm a guy. Yeah, I'm a woman. No, I'm a guy. Listen to this. It's kind of weird when you think about it. Planned Parenthoods are never in, you know, really nice, white bread, gated communities. No, they never are. They're always on Martin Luther King Boulevard, Malcolm X Boulevard, everywhere I've been. It was in Columbia, Missouri, Minneapolis, Cincinnati. The abortion clinics are always on the streets named after heroes of black culture. It's because Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist. She hated black people. She hated handicapped people. She wanted them all dead. I want you to listen to this woman on Latinos for Trump. She made an interesting observation. Is while people in inner cities, people of color are getting stepped over, and veterans are being kicked out of their shelters so illegals can be put in there, something else is happening with illegals when they come across the border, particularly illegal women with babies. Hold on, let me try and get this to play here. Hold on one second. Here we go.
Oh, come to the land of milking our children. But if you coming across the border with your baby, oh, come to the land of milk and honey, the great land of opportunity. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Joe Biden even said, I'll give illegal immigrants coming across the border $400,000 apiece. Can you imagine if they were to go to that black single mother living in the hood, not even $400,000, offer $4,000.
I'm not sure where that figure came from, but you know what? Free hotel stays and all that.
I know some black women that can make something jump with $4,000. Offer her $40,000. You know why they'll never give us that? Because they know that we'll never need them again. Welfare reminds me of an old man I used to date. I was in a relationship with him for 11 years. He would never marry me, right? But whenever my bills were due, I would tell him he would give me just enough. He had a whole lot of money.
Uh-huh.
He would give me just enough.
Oh.
Rent due, $1,200. He'd give me $1,200, not one cent over.
Minimum wage. Key word in that is minimum.
Because he knew that every month the rent was due, that I would have to come back.
I want you to hear the beginning of this real quick because I didn't want it to cut it off. They were talking about women, particularly black women coming across. They want women, black women, to abort their babies, but women across the southern border, they want them to come here and raise their babies. And the original beginning of that was cut off. But you understand, that's what the government does. They give you just enough to get your allegiance and nothing more. And while you feast on the crumbs, they eat foie gras in Washington, D.C. So I think we're in the midst of a great, great, great awakening in this country. The other day I played this guy, this pastor out of Chicago. I'm gonna find that. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll tell you this. I'll play this real quick because I found this thing too. There's a great, great podcast called the Jamal Bryant Podcast, and he was interviewing John Hope Bryant, who is a visionary leader and advocate for economic empowerment. And I want you to listen to this. And you know, I told you about this, how we all are united in suffering. And that's one of the things that always unites us is suffering. And I want you to listen to what he had to say about the color blindness of poverty.
What we found with data, I love data. We had Experian pull every zip code in America by credit score. I just did the, I had a hunch. A hunch was now more than correct. There's 1% margin of error, what I'm about to tell you.
Yes.
We literally have been looking for love in all the wrong places. Data is unimpeachable, and it says this. What? All of our problems, crime, murder, mayhem, drugs, depression, poverty, are in 500 credit score neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And in that neighborhood, by the way, black and brown urban or white poor, here's what you see. Check cashier, target marketing. Next to a payday loan lender, next to a rent-to-own store, next to a title lending store, next to a pawn shop, next to a liquor store. Everybody didn't say it already.
Yeah.
You guys starting to get a visual?
Yeah, don't forget the vape shop and Asian massage parlor. That's near my neighborhood, actually. I've got more on this coming up. This is The Rob Carson Show.
The Rob Carson Show podcast is everywhere. Go to Newsmax.com/listen for details.
They don't got abortion clinics at the border. They're telling us, as American women, specifically black American women, we need to abort our children. But if you coming across the border with your baby, oh, come to the land of milk and honey, the great land of opportunity. We'll take care of you. Joe Biden even said, I'll give illegal immigrants coming across the border $400,000 a
day. Yeah, kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. But I finally feel like people are beginning to wake up. It's remarkable. It really, really is. And it makes me feel positive about where we're going. And maybe we're starting to realize that there have been a lot of charlatans who've tried to sell us snake oil over the years. Like Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton he's been famous for a long time. He has a special talent. It's able to fly to a funeral, hijack the funeral to make a fundraiser, and then leave. That's one of the great things that he does. That's why he's got this great show on MSNBC. He gets paid millions of dollars even though nobody watches him because he's barely literate. And he wears these $5,000 suits. And he says that Donald Trump is a racist. Everybody's racist except for Al Sharpton.
I think that he has taken off any cover that he is really running a clear white supremacist campaign. He has stood there and called whites that tried to stop the certification of an election.
Oh, is that January the 6th?
Which is tantamount to trying to overthrow the government.
No, it wasn't.
He's called
there
them
was no insurrection.
Hostages. While they are real hostages in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah, you care
at
about that.
At the same time, imagine if you were a family member of a hostage in the Middle East, hearing him calling people that tried to overthrow an election a hostage.
Oh, this is so fantastic. What has Al Sharpton done for the black community? Exactly nothing. And people are starting to get it. Listen to this. This is Eric Adams on The Breakfast Club. Now, that's the Charlemagne of the God show. Listen to Eric Adams being taken to task.
I didn't put the National Guards in the subway. The governor did.
I know, but I know what you said.
But you said, Eric.
You stood with Governor Kathy Hochul, and you co-signed that decision. You did. And I'm not saying this as someone who's following social media. I'm saying that as an attorney in the city and an activist who follows everything that you do.
Yeah, I'm glad you do. Mm-hmm. Then you realize how I turned the city around if you follow everything.
Really?
You realize
I would say no, but we could get to that next.
Yeah. Yeah. Loosen up your tie, man, Adam. It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, loosen up your tie there, Eric. It's going to be a long day. I love it. Let's go to Bernie in Catonsville real quick. Bernie, welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Rob. You're just great. I love you. Anyway, the thing I wanted to mention is when you were talking about that, you played that clip with the lady, come to the land of milk and honey, all I could think of was that song by Stevie Wonder, you're giving just enough.
Just enough for the city.
Yeah. It's too perfect. It's just perfect.
Yeah, Democrats give you just enough to keep their votes, and now they don't even care. Now they don't even care because they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you, the Democrat Party broke up with you. You just don't know it yet. they broke up with you. Yes. You just don't. They're, as they used in that book that came out years ago, they're just not that into you anymore. Is what it is. Because they found another group. They found another group.
Yeah,
they've moved on.
Oh, so, yeah.
You'd expect to get a text or something, but no, they're ghosting you.
Suddenly, you're blacklisted.
Yes. Well, minimum. Exactly. Thanks for the phone call there, Bernie. I do appreciate it. Yeah, this is a great thing. You know, I wouldn't want to go through what we've been through the last 8 years, particularly 4 years, because I personally don't know if I'd survive. But the great thing is we're all awakening to this. And you know something else? Something really funny happened yesterday. I'm going to share the audio in a second. You know, Joe Biden has a habit of saying great things about his past and making his suffering be greater. He said his house nearly burnt down. It was a small kitchen fire. He said he used to drive a truck and he marched in Selma or something. Anyway, all of it's been a lie. Well, his lie about Hispanic, his Hispanic connection and his heritage was a big lie, too. I've got that on the other side of this break. And this is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account. It is the Rob Carson Show. We have got a lot coming up on the show. I want to get to not only more about the Democrat Party and its absolute failure of so many of us, and how we are coming together, and it's really glorious, because the only people really, and even this, even not so much on the low end, but the Democrat Party is now the party of elites and Wall Street and Whole Foods and all that stuff, or the ultra-dependent class. And that ultra-dependent class is now illegals coming across the southern border. Not people, you know, typical welfare recipients. Because even welfare recipients aren't getting what they expect from the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party has moved on. The Democrat Party has moved on. They've broken up with you. You just don't know it yet. You didn't even get a text. Stealing a wallet, a cell phone, a car, these are threats we all understand. A thief grabs and flees, but in a rising form of fraud theft known as deed theft, criminals have found a way to steal no less than your home and land. And it's getting worse, because homes are going up in value dramatically. A lot of the times, people, you might buy a home for, you know, 20 years ago for $150,000. It's worth $400,000 right now. Somebody might forge your signature, maybe use an AI voice to get a hold of your deed, or maybe take out a home equity loan on your property. You won't even know about it till you go to sell the property, or somebody calls you and says, oh yeah, you owe us this. It happens all the time. And if you want to stop it before it can happen, or you want to find out if it is, just get a free scan of your home's title at HomeTitleLock.com. Promo code Carson, okay? You'll get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title, 30 days of legendary home title lock protection. Again, just go to HomeTitleLock.com. Promo code Carson. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Promo code Carson. By the way, this Iowa LSU NCAA rematch garnered more views than any women's basketball match in history. Match. It's a match. It's a game, for crying out loud. Jim Gussett got this together because LSU apparently forgot when the national anthem is played. And Iowa summarily pounded them into the sand.
If I was an alumni, I'd say to LSU, get rid of anthem haters, or I won't donate to you.
Nope.
The coach's explanation, it was so lame.
We didn't know when it was
and
planned.
I'm glad the LSU girls were beaten badly in the game. cause they're proud to be un-American. On the anthem turn their back, because love for their country these women clearly lack. Governor says yank their scholarships if they pull this stunt once more. Next time the national anthem's played, do not leave the floor.
Nice, nice. Jim Gossett. So, yeah, they had, 12.3 million viewers. You know what? In a world where, and I mean this very seriously, men have lost the ability the ability to feel shame. There are men in our society, young men in our society, who have no shame at all. And when they fail at their own sport, they'll say, okay, I'll go ahead and compete with the girls. And there are people who are down with it. They don't even care about the young women whose lives are destroying. And I'm done with it. I am done with it. It has to stop. Wisconsin governor vetoed a bill that would prevent men from keep competing and beating women. Get his ass out of office. Because honestly, if nobody's going to stand up for young women in this country, then I sure as hell will. And this crap has got to stop. It has got to stop. And finally, when you get somebody like Caitlin Clark, set the NCAA's all-time scoring record, although Pistol Pete Maravich actually played more games. But that's okay. She's an amazing athlete. Not woman athlete. Not man athlete. An amazing athlete. She is remarkable, and she should be celebrated. And if anybody would try to, you know, play as a man against her, they ought to have their butt booted out. That said, 12.3 million viewers, and it ain't over yet. And by the way, the previous highest viewed game was way back, where the hell was this? I believe it was 1983. 1983 title game featuring USC legend Cheryl Miller drew 11.83 million people. Listen to this little montage of this amazing girl, Caitlin Clark.
In this game is to be able to secure defensive boards.
This girl,
LSU, an outstanding offensive rebounding team. Clark connects.
She shoots NBA trays.
Okay, giving up the mid-range. Here's Clark. Boom! Driving in for two.
NBA trays.
Caitlin Clark has
21 points in her collegiate career. That's third most amongst active players. Clark, backdoor, Martin, easy two.
I'm going to tell you what. She shoots three-pointers that are literally longer than some Southwest Airlines flights. She shoots from 5 feet outside the NBA three. Unbelievable. She's unbelievable. And I celebrate her as an athlete, not a female athlete, but as an athlete. And for any buffoon, any little coward who can't compete with men, who decide they want to compete against women and beat women, and those who support you, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. Absolutely. Okay, so I was talking about Joe Biden. He does like to lie a lot. And he always says that, you know, he's done things that he hasn't done. He says, you know, like he was at a truck plant and he said he drove a truck. He rode in a truck once. He hitchhiked or something. I don't even know what the hell it was. But anyway, this is one that he got caught in back in 1987 when he was running for office. So the problem with history is that people forget it. This happened 37 years ago. So millennials, you don't even remember it if you were even alive. But listen to this.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship,
nice,
ended up near the bottom of his class,
whoops,
and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at,
wow,
the University of Syracuse Law School.
Yes.
I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
Oh, his memory had failed. Well, it does fail him now. But here's the latest. Listen to this. comparing Joe Biden earlier in his political... He's always been a liar, a filthy, rotten, sleazy liar. He's always been a scumbag. He's never had a job in the private sector. He always inflates his resume, whether it be his achievements in life or his achievements in work. Everything he touches turned to crap. And listen to this. Going to compare some 37-year-old tape with campaign stop not that long ago.
I did not grow up in an area or community where there were large Hispanic or even small Hispanic population.
Yeah,
it was
really?
Just
what?
Non-existent.
What?
And exposure and education are important. It wasn't until 3 years ago I realized the extent to which Hispanic Americans have been simply the victims of prejudice in the most extreme way, as extreme as any black American in this country.
Sure.
I come from a little state, the little state of Delaware, but we have a very, in relative terms, large Puerto Rican population in Delaware. And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community.
He just suddenly becomes Puerto Rican, right? He's just suddenly Puerto Rican. It's just so funny. And just like, Kim Jong-un, the mainstream media, they try to cover up everything. And it's just becoming laughable at this point. Everybody's starting to understand this man is an absolute fraud and a phony, an absolute joke. I played this yesterday. This is James Carville. And you heard what I played earlier. There are a lot of particularly people of color waking up and realizing the Democrat Party is doing exactly what I've said. They leave money on the dresser the day after the election and they get up and leave. And here's James Carville recognizing it's happening, has no idea why.
I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, particularly black, younger blacks, younger Latinos, younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the drove.
Yeah, because they're sick and damn tired of it. And maybe what they see in popular culture isn't leading them anywhere. Only misery. Only misery. And you see the images on television and they got lots of money and they got the great cars and they got the women all over and that doesn't happen in real life. It doesn't. It's awful. Maybe a lot of young men are realizing that, and listen, I my father left me when I was 7 years old and it killed my brother. He never recovered. He died at 38 in his sleep. But maybe they're realizing that the home that I was raised in, where my mother had to work three jobs and my father was nowhere, maybe I don't want to do that to my kids. Maybe there's no joy in that. Maybe there's more joy in raising a child and living in a home with a woman who loves you and raising a kid and realizing it's the best thing you could ever have. And it never replaced it. It could never be replaced by a fancy car. It could never be replaced by a bunch of, women twerking on you and everything. Maybe people are starting to realize that. I think they are. I think a lot of people are realizing all those things. And I think it's a very good thing. Let's go to Jeremiah in New Hope. Hello. I do believe there's a movie named after that place. Jeremiah, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, Rob, man. This is a wonderful pleasure. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. What's up?
Okay, listen. I was driving my wife out here yesterday, and I was thinking about this, the Transgender Visibility Day,
yes,
or whatever they want to call it. Being landing on Easter during an election cycle. Now, when they started talking about it, I felt like they were poking us in the eye with that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence it landed on the same day.
Oh, no.
I think it was preordained that in this election cycle, that would be the focal point of Easter. Instead of the whole world that celebrates Easter as the highest holy day.
Yeah.
We wind up with talking about trans and all this other stuff, and they don't get it. If it hadn't been an election cycle and it had landed on the 31st, nobody would have cared.
Yeah.
But
well, Jeremiah, here's the thing. It happens all the time. The last time I think it happened was 2013. So the people who arranged it to be on March the 31st knew it was going to be on Easter. They knew it. And that's why on Saturday or Friday, they started announcing it. And on Saturday, Joe Biden announced it proudly with a proclamation before he said anything about Easter. And here's the strange thing, Jeremiah. They did not do that on the Hispanic version of the White House website. They ignored it altogether. So it was. It was meant to start something. It was meant to rub our faces in it. It was meant to appeal, I guess, to the far left base, liberal Karens and whatnot, right, and the Marxists and atheists and all that. But it was clearly meant to provoke you and me, Jeremiah. And I'm going to tell you, it did. It did. Now, I don't know if they want to start a fight. I don't know if they want to start a fight. Clearly, they want to goad us into something. But I will tell them what it did for me. It strengthened my resolve, and it made me realize how evil these people are. And there can be no compromise with people who name the date of Christ's death and resurrection after the transgenic. There's no excuse for it. It's blasphemy. It is an affront to us. It is unacceptable, Jeremiah.
It's a rally call, my brother.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. 100%. God bless you. I'm glad you called from New Hope, Pennsylvania. That was a nice call. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is a piece that I saved. I've been saving, banking some audio because I save inspirational people, clips from them, and I always get requests for them all the time. And this is one, a Chicago pastor, Patrick Lowry. And I want you to listen to what he has to say.
This is a travesty of justice. Federal laws have been broken. We have illegal immigrants in our country. We have veterans, and we have homeless people in Chicago that are still sleeping under the Vidocs. They don't have food to eat, yes, and yet they're giving millions of dollars to illegal aliens who are here, who are not a part of this country, who have never spent one penny. And to the American people and patriots across this country, it's time for us to be one America.
Yes, sir.
No longer can we sit back and say, I'm a white American, I'm a black American.
Yes.
We have to be Americans right now and stand up to the tyranny that we see that the Democratic Party is doing in our community. You're talking about our schools. You're talking about pedophiles, drug cartels, drugs here. You got immigrants killing people and shooting people and intimidating. This is not the American way of life.
No, it is not. And like I said, you are guaranteed the ability to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the people in government are the ones who are keeping you from it because they don't want you to have it. But the great thing is we're coming together. Absolutely. All this talk about civil war, we don't need to have a civil war. We are better armed intellectually and physically than anybody on the left. There you go. All right. So coming up, the profundity of what Robert Kennedy Jr. said about Joe Biden yesterday. I'm going to get into that. And also your phone calls, 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show. It is the Rob Carson Show. By the way, if you need to hear the podcast, we do it every day. Ken, my producer, we call him Redneck MacGyver. He does the radio show, makes it into two podcasts every single day. So you can go to your regular podcast platform. Just look up the Rob Carson Show. Share it with others if you would. And then also you can just ask Alexa. Play the latest episode. It'll pop right up. RFK Jr. Said that Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump. And he's right. And he brought some facts with him about the massive censorship of everyone who disagrees with his positions, his policies, the government policies, everything from the 2020 election to January the 6th, to COVID, to everything on social media was shut down. And the media, the mainstream media, played along. And he said this on CNN the other night. And then CNN had to have somebody on afterwards to rebuke him without confronting him, because they know he has really hit the target. I want you to listen to RFK Jr. and then the idiotic rebuttal they had after he was off the air.
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history, that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service,
yes,
to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents.
Yeah. Secret Service protection was afforded to presidential candidates after the murder of RFK's father in 1968. And Joe Biden's deep state Secret Service will not do it for RFK Jr. That's I mean, come on. Does it get any more obvious than that? Joe Biden has weaponized social media, used the CIA and FBI to shut down dissent. That's why I came up with the expression, dissent is not disinformation. They created disinformation, just like Joseph Stalin did in 1923. They were going to do a disinformation governance board. We found out about it and blew up, but they're still doing it. They're still doing it, and they've weaponized the DOJ against average Americans and Donald Trump.
For political reasons, he's weaponizing a federal agency.
He asserted that President Biden has denied him Secret Service protection in this election. First of all, there is no evidence that President Biden has been...
There is evidence Joe Biden ordered the raid of Mar-a-Lago.
...all personally involved in decisions about who should and should not get Secret Service protection. He also claimed that President Biden has been personally censoring him. We know there is a controversy about a White House communications with social media companies.
No, they shut down. They created the Stanford Virality Project. They worked with universities and NGOs to shut down freedom of expression. They did it. There's thousands of pages of proof.
It's about what posts and accounts should remain up or not. There's no evidence that Biden has been involved whatsoever.
Bullcrap.
What a chicken way of doing the news. You don't debate or have a conversation live. You slap the guests with fake fact checks on their way out.
Yeah, and then you cut away from their speeches like Rachel Maddow does. Interesting. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%. All right, so coming up next hour, the judge in the Stormy Daniels case needs to recuse himself. The unbelievable facts about this jackweed. A Biden inflation update. You won't believe how many cities in the middle class can no longer afford to live in. And Pete Buttigieg makes fun of gas cars as the EV market implodes. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.